Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Vicki Love, and usually I do my show, The Enchanted Kaleidoscope, but today this show is called Intent. And a couple years back, Carl and I, we were doing many shows in a row on the idea of intent, what the intent behind a lot of this stuff that's going on in the world. And so back in January, I read an article about a university in Southern California that was, this is not a was thing. It is a present right now thing that has banned the word field. Now, they're very specific in the reason why, but they want it in a broad spectrum. And they say that the word field, when I say the word field, I throw the word field out to you. The first thing that you, no matter who you are out there in this world, the very first thing you think of is that that word is racist, and you think of a poor, lonely, degraded, put down field worker, and you think of either black people in cotton fields or Mexican people in tomato fields. Okay, that's their assumption, and that's exactly what they wrote in their proposal to get this word banned. I don't know about anyone else out there, but before I read this article and what these people are doing, when somebody said field to me, I thought of a really nice meadow with flowers in it, or a field over there that has the potential of having trees in it, or a building on it, or a house, a field, a racist idea.
I grew up the South with fields everywhere. And when I think of the word field, honestly, I think of driving through the bean fields out in my area.
Yeah.
You have to drive through the bean fields to get just about anywhere. So all I think of is a flat expanse of farming area. But I don't think of farming area as, you know, black people or Latinx people. I think of farming area like my ex-father-in-law is a cattle farmer. So I think of the fields at my ex-in-law's house where my kid loves to go play and pick up cow bones that have been bleached by the sun, and we take them home and paint them. I do not think about oppressed people.
Exactly.
And by the way, I think of Sally myself.
Sally Field,
And so,
hey, that works too, because either way, there's three of us here, and none of us is thinking anything like what they're trying to say we're thinking when we say the word field.
Right. And there you have it. You just said the number one thing about banning words. Other people are telling you what you are thinking about a whole myriad now, not just certain words, but a whole bunch of other words that you would never, ever think racist or ethnically degrading. That's the problem. These people in Southern California are telling us what we are thinking, and they are judging us on what they think. And that is so un-American, totally against the First Amendment of the Constitution, that these people, they think they're on a pedestal and they're righteous and they think they know what to tell us to think. And that's the biggest problem here. So I thought that this would be a really good way to find out the intent of these people. What is their intent? Because what it says, the list of bad words, no, banned words, most of it says on here, let me go back up to the glossary of banned words, images, and topics. Okay. Now,
and topics, gotta love that part.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get into that, could I just do one thing really quick, Vicki?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say, like, we got into this real hard and real quick. And I just wanted to introduce that, you know, we're not always with you. So it's only occasionally and even less occasionally for me, even though I love my conversations with you. I, being Rachel Elaine and Carl Kafer from Incredibly Strange Films and Deviant Legion and all that good shit, we are here with you today because I think we are probably the only two people right now that really understand where you're coming from because, I'm pissed.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because one of the reasons why I had to get out of education is this stuff is really strong in California. And one of the big reasons why I want out of California is because of this. I used to consider myself a liberal, but a liberal these days is somebody that believes in restricting people's speech. And that's the total opposite of this. And it's making people crazy. It's making people hate each other. And it's making people angry at the wrong thing. So if we dig down into the intent of it, then yeah, maybe we can get over our anger and maybe, I don't know. I think this is a losing battle, but we'll see. I want to mention the word ethnocentric because a lot of these words have been banned because of someone, and I'm talking about academia, people in certain places in academia, not all of academia. Believe me, not all of academia is on board of banning words.
Real academics are on the opposite shore
right,
of banning things.
The real academics. Ethnocentric is a lot to do with, well, you're hurting somebody's ethnic background and we're not going to use that word anymore. And that is truly not the way in which an open conversation to understand another person, their culture, their ethnic background, where they're coming from, that is not how you go about it. So ethnocentric is part of this whole idea of banning words. So I wanted to put that in there. And so to start, I started with the word field. It had already been going on, and I'm not going to reference specifically my school or my school district. They're not mine anymore, my retired places where I used to work. But this was so strong in these meetings that we went to that it stifled conversations. It stifled learning. It stifled people's creativity to connect with kids because we didn't know what word we could say and what word would get us put on academic probation. And academic probation means you can't speak to students and you stay home. And
it's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous because we're teachers. And we are, when the majority of us became teachers, we were living in a society where word meanings were what we got down to the core of the specifics of what we were talking about. That's how open-mindedness and debates happen. But we don't want open-mindedness anymore, and we don't want debate anymore. We want everyone to feel comfortable in their space.
No, and I believe that everybody should have a space where they can feel comfortable. but mm-hmm. the academic environment is not the time nor the place for your fucking comfort, because education is not comfortable. And that's why only yep. the best excel at it, is because we know that you have to get through the hurt to do good, to make a difference, to understand why you need to make a difference. So, yeah, if the word field hate, like, hurts your fucking feelings, then how about you do something to change how people think about the word field? Not just say, you're not allowed to say it anymore, because that's just going to make it worse. When some kids here in the future, you know, find their mommy and daddy's little book of banned words, phrases, and books, guess what? They're going to Fahrenheit 451 that shit, and they're going to read it and do it anyway. And they're going to do it as an act of defiance, because that is what we do as teenagers and young adults. We're learning how to have our voice heard in the world. So we will do anything we can to scream into that void and make it heard. And when my kids find shit in the future, like, well, not my kids really, because we are well informed in this household, but when my friends' kids in the future find all this shit, like, you know, the words and the books they weren't allowed to read, they're going to, first thing, go out and find yep. those books. And they know goddamn well I'm the first person they can go to.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
We gifted, like, all of the kids in our lives this year, we gifted them all a copy of the book Mouse.
Oh, good.
And we good. Even gave one to the teacher to keep in her classroom, and she was so fucking happy about it. Like, I'm just saying that kids are going to defy you just because they can. So banning things, haha, funny. It's kind of like the argument they always use, this particular group always uses about, well, we can't ban guns because criminals don't listen to that. Well, guess what? You're about to turn an entire generation into thought criminals, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Because
no,
they are going to actively seek this stuff out and fucking do it just to spit in your face.
It, so no, I wanted to start. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So very, very briefly, I think it was either Stephen Fry or Eddie Izzard said, you're offended? So fucking what? The idea
yeah.
of being offended just means you shut yourself off. Okay? And what you were saying, Rachel, you know, Frank Zappa was saying years and years ago with the PMRC and putting stickers on albums, that'll just make kids want to hear it even more. You know?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the thing about it is that you're talking about intent. I think part of it is that these people that are, at least some of them, are putting this stuff out because I'm offended, so everyone should be offended, so no one's offended, we're not going to say the word. Now, there's a lot more to it than that. You know, we could get into the bans of you know, what's happening in Florida and all this education stuff that's coming out of Florida and so on and so forth, and that just puts more pressure on teachers.
And by
you
the
know,
way, that's 100% what it is. It's anti-education.
Yeah.
It's not anything
yeah,
else.
Absolutely.
It is not protection.
Totally
it's
agree.
Not security. It's not safety. It's fucking anti-education. And I hate to say this because it is playing into a stereotype, but we're going to play into the stereotype here. It's fucking Florida. And everybody in the world knows that Florida is probably one of the most freaked up, fucked up, messed up places in America, okay? So we shouldn't be doing anything that they're doing because it's all just gone to shit for them. Every time they've tried to do something, you know, drug testing all of the people on assistance and finding out that they were spending more money on drug tests than they were actually finding people who were really on drugs while using assistance and benefits. I mean, come on, Florida. This is Florida
okay. We're
talking about.
But I have to interject and say that the great state of California is not so great anymore, because half of this material on this website that I went to, this website is a union of professionals. And their whole thing on the list of banned words, I'm looking at something and trying to talk at the same time. That's just wrong. Their sources, half of these sources are from 2002, California. And the whole thing is that California trying to level the playing field. Every person is the same. This goes back to Harrison Bergeron again.
Have you read my piece I did on Harrison Bergeron? Because I really think you'd enjoy it.
I'm going to send that
to you in a bit.
Yeah, do that, because Harrison Bergeron, I used to teach Harrison Bergeron until I was no longer allowed to teach Harrison Bergeron, part of the California ban, but here I go again on my educational experiences. And what I want to show you and talk to you and get your mind thinking is, what is the intent behind banning a word? And I really wanted to start with the word F-U-C-K, fuck. Because that word is...
My favorite word, obviously.
Right, okay? For the past 30, 40 years, that word has gained its influence in popular society. And now you see it everywhere. Even you know, people you never think would say it, your elders and all of that. Oh, yeah. You can't call old people seniors anymore. You can only call them old people, that, according to this list of banned words. Seniors is,
and actually
is
they
the
don't
brain.
Like that. They would prefer something like octogenarians. But
I just like this. Look, I'm an older person, okay? Big deal. So the word fuck, when I can remember the exact moment I uttered that word for the very first time. I was in fifth grade, and in fifth grade, I don't remember how old you are. Do you have a fifth grader, Rachel? How old are you in fifth grade? I don't
remember either. I have one that's going into ninth grade,
12.
And they're about to be 14. So,
okay, yeah. So it's, you're right, about 11 years old then. Okay, so I'm in Arizona, in the heart of the desert, Phoenix. It's hot outside, and they're making us line up in the dirt. Line up, make perfect lines. And if our lines aren't perfect, they're going to make us stand in the hot sun, right?
And the dirt is hot, too.
I hate the dirt. That's why I moved from Arizona. You want to know number one big reason why I don't like Arizona is because it's dirt. It's all dirt. The whole damn state is dirt. So I hate dirt. And they're making us line up, and the boys are doing this, and there's all this dirt coming, and I just go, fuck! Of course I got in trouble, because this is, early 70s? 1970s?
Oh, yeah.
Early 70s. And, you know, everyone just stopped, because I was hot, I was dusty, I was sneezing, and the whole scenario was ridiculous to me. And I was suffering. And I remember that. And then I remember being very conscious of the fact that I said a bad word, and look at that teacher's face. And yeah, I got pulled aside and blah, 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 blah. It wasn't the first time I went to the principal. Wasn't the last time I went to the principal. So,
welcome to the club, honey.
From, let's say, the early 70s, when words were, see, there were lots of banned words in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and then that whole generation said, why can't we say these words? So in the 70s and the 80s, we started saying words that we weren't allowed to say anymore, and fuck is one of them. And it's a very good adjective along with being a noun and being also a verb. It can be anything. It's a great word, okay? So it went from being banned to being a form of rebellion to a form of I'm cool because I say it, to now it's just almost a normal word, almost. You can't say fuck in the middle of a church without people getting pretty pissed off. So,
and my kids are not allowed to say the word fuck, but here's something I think you might appreciate, Vicki.
Yeah.
Is my children, and I know this is very unpopular opinion, but I don't believe in banning language. Now,
yeah.
I don't let people use language inappropriately in my house. So my kids, both of them, including the six-year-old, know when they are allowed to and when they are not allowed to cuss. And the only reason they will get in trouble for using a cuss word is if they use it in the wrong context.
And that's the way all words should be.
I believe so. I do not believe that there should be a ban on thoughts or words. And look, as much as it makes me uncomfortable, because I was raised in the type of society where if a man said a cuss word in front of me as a child or even a teenager, and sometimes as a grown woman, they immediately apologize. And I'm like, dude, it's okay. I cuss like a sailor. I could make fucking God I could make Satan blush with what I got to say, okay? I'm not worried about it. And I realized that I could not, because I tried for the longest time to police the language of the children. And then I realized after talking with my very intelligent, almost 14-year-old that no, I shouldn't police the language itself because I use it. I can't be mad about my kids using it. I can't police the language itself, but I can let them know the appropriate context.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's what you need. I think that's what people are.
That's it. The intent behind banning words is to control the context. And by controlling the context, they can control your thoughts. And that's what this is all about, controlling people's thoughts. Because you can't stop people from hating. I mean, there's a history going all the way back to, oh, I was going to say caveman. You can't say that. Primitive man. Oh, wait, you can't say that either. According to this list, you can't say primitive. You can't say primitive man. You have to say primitive humans, but then you have to use the plural, or now you're being ethnocentric, blah, 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 blah.
Wait, can't use that word.
So here's the deal.
Oh, you know what other words you can't use since we're talking about,
what?
Like, you know, primitive folk? Bone.
What?
Yeah, bone. There was an archaeology project. There was an archaeology project recently where they, because of the restrictions on the, you know, everything on their web server and all that, they could not use the word bone at an archaeology dig.
Well, what did they find? They find fossilized what? Because it's bone that fossilizes.
Exactly.
How do you describe
There was a big deal about that because they were like, this is literally the word that our entire field is based around.
Wait,
we have to be able to use the word bone.
And field. Because it's the field of archaeology. Oh, my God.
No, it's not. It's the large pleasant meadow of fossilized things digging.
Okay, Steve. On one of these sources on this list, it says American Institutes for Research. AIR principles for bias, sensitivity and language simplification, fall 2000. Okay, we're 2023 now. So 23 years they've been trying to simplify the language with what you just said by taking field and bones out of the specific thing
okay.
that these people were doing.
Can I step in here?
Yes.
One of the best people about Word, of course, is the comic, now his name escapes me, but he talks about shell shock, how that became battle fatigue, and then it became post-traumatic stress syndrome. George Carlin.
George Carlin.
How the words are stretched, and suddenly they don't mean as much. They don't have as much import.
Right.
They don't have as
right.
much. They don't have as much stress put into it, because if you say shell shock, you suddenly get this picture, right? But
right.
if you say post-traumatic stress syndrome, what the fuck is that?
And
right.
And
it's so watered down.
Generic.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yes.
And that's part of it. And, of course, the other thing, you know, you were talking
it's a
about
huge part.
Was you know, you started with the word fuck. George Carlin, again, the seven words.
Right,
seven
that you
bad
can't
words.
Say on air. Yeah.
That
oh,
you can't
and,
say on
and
air.
One of my favorite pieces ever, and I'm sure you guys have heard it, but it's just an audio clip, and it's called The Meaning of Fuck.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most beautiful things, because it breaks it down language-wise, and that's one of the things I thought about a lot when, you know, I flat out, I did, because my eldest one is so proper and so polite, and they don't want to offend anybody, and they don't want to upset anybody. So when it came to the cussing issue, I had to like blatantly give them permission. I was like, look, you're smart. You know when to say cuss words. You know when not to say cuss words. And also, if you accidentally say a cuss word in front of your grandma, that's on you. I'll throw you under the fucking bus. Okay? That didn't come from me. But you know, I was like, look, you know when to, you know when not to, you know about language, use it appropriately. If you use it in the wrong context, I'm going to make you do extra chores.
Yeah.
Okay.
This, what?
What I was going to say, I wanted to say one other thing, too. And you mentioned the word that I think is incredibly important. And that is context. Exactly.
Yeah,
context to me is so important, because context means when the word was used, what did it mean at that point in time, and how was it used, and are we using
okay,
it in
exactly.
the same way now?
When I was tutoring kids in English, one of the first things that I always taught them, and I know this sounds stupid, but Vicky may understand why I did this, is there is a huge difference between the there's the meaning of the word and there's the feeling of the word. It's the it's not the synonym and the antonym is no anyway there's a big difference between the intent that the word is used with versus what the word actually means.
Right. And that is called the nuance of literature. And so what you do is with language, we are just speaking about the English language right now, of which is under its own ethnic bashing, all right? English is a beautiful language. It's more descriptive than many, many, many other languages, and that's one of the reasons why it has become almost a universal language, because English has a way with the meaning of its words, the the definition of these English words can be so specific that there can be a Constitution of the United States of America that is revered around the entire world. Now, there's a lot of people out there that don't like who wrote that Constitution because of their ethnic background. And so to dilute the English language, dilute the meaning of words, you dilute the context of the American society. Do you see that? I mean, it's a broad concept, but there is an intent in that. When you take a word like field, let me give you another example. The word horde, H-O-R-D-E, horde, okay? When you speak of a horde of people in California, you can't do that in education classes because, of course, that makes you think of a horde of Mexicans on the border of America, and that is racist. Of course, every time I hear the word horde, that's what I think, a bunch of Mexicans trying to jump a fence. That is crazy, and yet that is what the language police in California in early 2000s, at the beginning of the 21st century, decided that the word
horde. I actually think of like a horde of Vikings,
Yeah, you can't, There's a horde of all kinds of things, but you can't use it in California education.
Well, when
what
I hear that word, horde.
Yeah? What do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, when I hear that word, horde, I think of a prostitute done for the night, but that's me.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
Oh,
okay.
I got it.
Yeah?
I got it.
Okay.
There's a difference between the connotation of a word.
There you go.
And the annotation of a word, because the
connotation. And the denotation of the word. Yes.
And the what?
The denotation of it. The denotation is the dictionary definition of a word.
Yes. And the connotation is the feeling that people have about a word. And there's
yes,
a real big difference between connotation and denotation. And most
yes.
of the time,
yes.
people are using the denotative version of the word. I'm sorry
yes.
that your connotation
yes.
is different than mine, but I didn't grow up thinking hordes of Mexicans because I didn't grow
yes.
up in a racist fucking household. I didn't grow
right.
up thinking field of fucking laborers because my family was one of the families in the Deep South that was protecting slaves. Okay, so in my head, field is a giant area of grass and crops that the family works, but, you know, my family's white, so I don't have those connotations of those words because I did all those things with a white family, and so it upsets me, and I
yeah.
understand that people get upset by words. I get upset by a lot of words, but you know what? I let people fucking use them because those are their words. There's words that I, as a white woman, am not allowed to say at all. I don't think anybody should be allowed to say them. I also believe,
but you
like,
know what?
George Carlin. Yeah?
Yeah. If I can't say certain words, then that restricts my freedom of speech, and I live in America. Now, if I lived in Somalia, yeah, they restrict each other's speech all the time. You can get killed for saying the wrong thing at any point in time. But I don't live in Somalia, and I don't live in dictatorships, or at least I didn't think I did. But this has been going on since the 90s and the early 2000s. So now we've come to it today, where an academic group of people at a certain university have decided, and it's not just in California. There's a can't remember. There's another state. I don't want to mention the state because I'm not sure, because it's either Michigan or Massachusetts, and I can't remember which one. So anyway,
I think it's Michigan, but don't quote me. But I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, see, because I don't want to, you know, get in trouble for saying the wrong one. But they're also on board with exactly the same thing of what California is doing in its educational system and the banning of certain words. I want to give this one to you, Carl, because, you know, you're the religious guy. And the word dogma, the word, I'm like stunned. Horde stuns me, too. And slave is another word that I want to talk about. But the word dogma is so specific. But they say in California that the word dogma is ethnocentric. And if you use it, you are putting down certain religions, when the word specifically, denotation of this word is a tenant or a group of tenants, rules to live by under a religion. How can you ban the word dogma?
Somebody saw a movie where Alanis Morissette played female God, and they decided that dogma was a dirty word.
I'm offended by that. My God is female.
And Jesus would never be my buddy.
Yeah.
And George Carlin is certainly not the Pope.
Oh,
I don't know. He was the Pope of comedy for me. I'm just saying.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
So dogma. Let's talk a word about dogma. Okay. So dogma is a bunch of rules that are in a religious organization. Okay? Anyone who's worked in a church, me, will tell you that the politics and the rules that you have to go by are insane. Okay? That's number one. Number two, dogma also has to do with all the rules that generally it's connected to the Catholic Church. But any liturgical church, including the Episcopalian, of which I am one, has these rules where you have to do certain things during the service. You have to do all this stuff, and they have rules on, you know, you talk about, I don't know if any of you remember, you couldn't eat meat on Friday, for example.
Of course.
That's not in the Bible at all. That came down from the churches for a specific reason, particularly if you take a look back at, I think it was the Nicene, but the whole thing about being around water and that sort of thing, they wanted to get the fishermen to sell more fish. This is why. That's the reason that rule started.
Okay, let's get off the rule, because I want to go back to the word dogma, because that's exactly what dogma is. It's tenets, it's rules. And it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about, dogma is a set of tenets and rules. All right.
Right.
So California wants to replace, and has replaced since this was 23 years ago, has replaced the word dogma with the word belief. Now, how wrong can that be?
Oh, that's very wrong. That's incredibly wrong.
That's the thing.
That's 100% the wrongest.
Yes. Yes, and yet that is what it says, because on this list, on the list, it says, if you're thinking of using the word dogma, then we don't want you to use that. We want you to use the word doctrine, which I can see. I can see replacing it with doctrine, but I cannot see it being replaced with the word belief. And that is their second choice. Yeah,
okay,
no kidding.
So I want to just jump in here. Okay, let's think of dogma as a adjective. Okay, dogmatic.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well,
when you're dogmatic, what does that mean? You are so adhered to the rules, you can't think of anything else.
Right.
So am I going to be doctrinic? Am I going to be beliefic? I don't think so. I'm going to be dogmatic.
Right. And so these smart academics who wrote this down and made this list, they're completely wrong on this. And now when it comes to the simplification of language, they have now muddied it. They have now made it so obscure that the meanings, whoever's writing and said, well, I was going to put dogma there, now I'm going to put belief there, now the meaning has changed. You see that?
Yeah.
You see what that can do to a group of children who are learning something and they get the wrong idea, and then out in the world as grown-ups, they are faced with somebody saying dogma and they go, oh, that's your belief? And then a big argument happens because that child was restricted from understanding what the word dogma meant, and it was replaced with belief.
Exactly. And you know what? The one thing I want to say about all of this, and I mean all of this, is I have always said this to my children, to myself, to my friends, to my family. To give something a name is to give it power.
Mm-hmm.
And to give that name power over you, that's your own fucking fault. Just because you have named and now know something does not mean you have to give it power over you. It is literally just words. We used to communicate with grunts and clicks, and some people still do. And you know what? Those grunts and clicks offend them. If we have to go back to that, let's fucking do it. Let's not build this fucking Tower of Babel, okay?
That's what we're doing.
Exactly.
That's why our society is failing. We are not just making mistakes of 100 years ago. We are making mistakes of 2,000 years ago.
Mistakes that we have made since the beginning of mankind. And I say mankind, not in the sense that there aren't women and people who aren't men or women there. I'm just saying that's how I grew up calling it. I calls it like I sees it. It's mankind.
Oh, you're
there
not allowed to. Sorry, you're racist.
I just did.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
I'm sexist.
I mean, yes. Now, in California,
let it upset
you
because
slave.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the word slave, if you say slave, because I use it all the time because I feel like a slave, especially to my tech masters, to my broadband, to my freaking phone that I hate. All these things, I am a slave, and so are you, and so is everyone in America, because we are slaves to these things, and there's nothing wrong with that word. But in California, they don't want you to use the word slave. The word slave as a noun is wrong, and that is bullshit. But then again, us out here, we're slaves to electricity. Just ask our great governor Newsom.
Okay.
Yes, we're a slave to, but they don't want us to use that word anymore. You can use the word enslaved, which is an adjective, enslaved with E-N, but you can't use the word, I'm a fucking slave. No, I'm enslaved
by. That doesn't work as well to the
music. Yeah, so, you know, come on. What is this all about? What is the intent here? I can tell you what the intent is. I mean, from my own point of view, and it's to keep us down. It is to keep the lower classes down and the elite where they are on their pinnacle. And that's what this is all about, because many of the people who are trying to change these words across the board are elitist.
They're the slave owners.
Don't use that word either. You're not allowed to use elitist or elite or anything associated with that word.
Can we still say suffering from affluenza?
No, they'll ban suffering really soon, too, because we can't think that we're suffering.
Okay, I want to jump in again. A couple of things I want to say very briefly.
Yeah.
One thing is this whole list you have, Vicki, it's to simplify language, right?
Right.
I want you to think
about
that.
It's making it so much harder.
Okay, but the point is, language is not simple, and it never will be. You are running a fool's errand if you think you're going to simplify language, because there's so much nuance in it. There's so much. Well, you know.
I mean, I think Vicki and I both understand that.
Okay, but that's one thing I wanted to say. That hadn't been said specifically. Secondly, the whole thing about words, it's the intent of the speaker of how they use the word. And
right.
The one
that's
thing
the whole
I
connotation
say,
and
you know,
denotation thing.
Right, exactly. So I want to bring up a specific instance. Now, we talked about George Carlin. I'm going to go back half a generation to Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce is in a comedy shop in San Francisco. I think it was the Hungry Eye. And it was a very mixed, very, very elite liberal crew that was listening to him. And he just points people out and says the worst words you can say about their ethnicity. I'm not going to repeat the words, but Italian, it starts with a W. You know, a Jewish person starts with a K.
I'm allowed to say that one.
Know.
I've got Italian family.
We're going to get to that word for a second. Okay, so he just does this to everybody. He points everybody out. And he just says, you know what? They're just words. He walks off the stage. And the point is that we take so much offense of these words that we get scared, and every word is offensive. And this is not true. Every word is not offensive because we think of them differently. Okay? Now, talking about the word WAP, okay? I don't know if you have followed the news, but Criterion Channel is running French Connection. Okay?
Oh, shit.
And they have basically edited a small scene out of it where two words were said by Popeye Doyle, which is Gene Hackman, the main thing. One was Guinea, and the other was WAP. Okay? And they edited them out because it's offensive to Italians. Now, whether or not that's true or not, I'm sure it is a word to offend some people. But we're talking about a character in a movie who is and says, you know, worse things than that about blacks. And so
he's
and so
intentionally...
And he's doing it to piss people off because that's his modus operandi. And they cut the scene, and from what I understand from Dan Kramer, it's a really, really bad cut. And you know that something's missing. Why, you know, and again, that goes back into context. Look at the time frame. Look when this was made, what the historical context is. They're going to say those words because those words were used as weapons at that point in time. Still used as weapons today. And they're always going to be. You cannot take away a word and say it's not going to be used because people are going to use it anyway. People are not
going
to listen.
I 100% agree with you. And I will tell you that my adopted family is very deeply Italian. So I have not seen any of them be offended by the usage of that word. But again, I have a really cool family, especially on that side. So none of us have ever been offended by the usage of it, but I also don't think anybody's ever really tried to use it to offend someone in my family because, hey, we're just a whole bunch of really nice people. But even then, if you don't actively let something offend you, especially if somebody's trying to offend you with their words, just don't let them offend you. It's just words. You can walk away, and it literally, like, you are not going to have to go to the Hurt Feelings Hospital after somebody calls you something derogatory, okay? I have been called worse things than you could ever imagine in your life, and I am still here living to this day, and I am living my fucking best life. So you can call me cunt. You can call me a dumb bitch. You can call me a stupid whore, slut, anything else you want to, but guess what? Like, unless you physically hurt me, I don't fucking care. I'm going to go home and still be the same dumb cunt, whore, stupid bitch to you. And I'm going to live my best life and not let it hurt me.
See, that's the attitude that should be celebrated in school, in life, where
exactly.
The words don't hurt you. You know that old little, that schoolyard saying about words,
I'm rubber
and words bounce. Yeah.
I am rubber and you are glue, and whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks back on you. Or sticks and stones must break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And then at the end of that, because people usually make ugly faces, you can tell them, my mom always told me your face was going to stick like that. Maybe it'll be prettier.
Now, we've taken that, and I'm saying not you and I, but as a group of Americans, we have
humanity
taken that and shoved that aside and said those words do hurt and they scar us and we feel bad about ourselves and we get depressed about it and we get mentally ill over it. Well, you know, we don't address that whole part of our society where we grow our armor and see worth in ourselves. If we address that, if the damn psychologists and psychiatrists would get off their pill thing and get more into teaching people how to ignore slights, how to grow beyond somebody calling them names, then perhaps our society wouldn't be the way it is now. Because if I say something bad, if I use one bad word, I am going on administrative leave and I'm going to lose my career. But if I hold things back and try to find a word that is all gentle, milquetoast, white, kind of no meaning, and put it out there, then everything's fine.
I'm not that person, and I have never been that person. And a lot of times people come to me because I am the tough love. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, and I'm going to say whatever fucking words I want to say. And if I think you're acting like a dumb cunt, I'm going to tell you, stop acting like a dumb cunt. Now, it's not a word that I use often because I know it can be really offensive to people. But to me, it's just a word, and it gets a point across. You're being extra fucking dumb. But the other thing is, like I said, don't give words power over you.
Right. But we don't teach that.
We don't.
When I was in school, we taught that. Be smarter. Understand your worth. And so we don't teach that anymore. We coddle. And that word,
and that's what I want to get to with that is I have learned recently, my mom's been doing some stuff. She's really big into some self-help because she just won therapy. Like, her therapist was like, hey, you're so good now. you don't need me anymore. So my mom just won therapy. Let's give a round of applause.
Good. Yay.
It can happen.
Yay.
But we learned something recently. It's not about self-esteem and your ego and yourself. It's about self-compassion.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like most people, don't have self-compassion. And I think that if more people were more compassionate to themselves and more introspective about themselves, because that's how I did really well in therapy, is like my therapist was like, oh my God, you're so introspective. You've done all the work for me. I'm like, yeah, it hurts and it's stupid and I hate it, but you got to do what you got to do, right? Why
right.
can't we do that with words? If you let a word hurt you, that's your own fucking problem. It's kind of like if you're brushing your hair and it hurts you, do it in a different way, okay? If these words
well,
hurt
that,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go
ahead, Vicky.
Keep going. Sorry, I'm sorry. Sorry. I just looked at the clock, and I know that Carl's going to be going, oh, it's an hour. when I wanted to do this show, and maybe this is a many tentacled monster, okay? Because you can go off on all kinds of different tangents that are all very relevant.
Yes.
And so when I'm thinking of when I first started thinking of this show, and then the word field. And how they were saying this offends a certain group of people. And then the word woke is just a terrible word. And this woke movement within our society is a pretty terrible thing. Not its intent, but the way in which words are banned within the umbrella of woke. And so woke should be a banned word, too, because it has so many bad connotations to it now. But
it really
its
does.
Denotation
but,
is fine.
But it can't be, because I talk to people about their dreams all the time. So I'm like, so what happened when you woke up?
Yeah. See? Okay, so the people
don't let words have power over you, and we won't have these
right.
fucking problems. Just get the fuck over it. We have so much bigger shit, so many bigger issues to be worrying about in the world versus who reads what book and what words they're using to describe it.
But if both sides, like I said, you know, California and Florida couldn't be more different, and yet in their ways of banning, California banning words, Florida banning books outright, they're doing the same exact thing, trying to control their population.
Exactly.
Throw in the woke movement into this whole thing. And you're having all these different groups trying to control what you think. And so you have to understand, you can still be for this, that, and whatever. But when you start banning, when you start telling people they can't speak those words, no matter what the word is, and I know the N-word is a trigger word for everyone, and I'm white, and I just said the N-word, which is a phrase that I'm not supposed to use in California. Well, when you allow that word to hurt you, and when you say, I can say that word, but you can't say that word, and in my life, I've never even thought that word of ever saying that word, but now it's everywhere, and I can't say it. These are the things that keep us fighting amongst each other and not solving the big problems, the financial problems.
Not fighting
problems.
The fucking power like we're supposed to be doing.
To be doing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Look at your household spends $500 more every month than it did 2 years ago because of inflation. The elite did that to you. There's a recession that we are all feeling, but the elite don't feel, and they did that to you. But if we continue to fight over, oh, you can't say that word, and I can't say that word, and don't read that book, and don't read that article, blah, 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 and fight amongst each other over things that are already there instead of maybe having a
really irrelevant.
Why can't we debate? Why can't we debate? Yeah. The word debate, we can't even debate anymore. It's either ban or not. There's no debate.
Mm-hmm.
A group of people got together and said, we don't like the word field because we think it's racist. Without debate, without talk, without public anything, and they are a public institution, they erased the word. How can that be on a public institution that taxpayers pay for them?
And I just want to say, and I know this is one of those phrases I'm not allowed to say, but I, as a white woman, do still have a lot of black friends. Nobody ever consulted them about how they felt about the word field. It was a bunch of fucking old white people that got offended by it because we were talking about, hey, you used to own slaves in the field. Nobody ever consulted my black friends about this.
Yep.
And how they felt about it. They don't care about the fucking word field.
Don't.
Unless you're saying something offensive like get back to the field or go back to Africa.
Right.
Like, so don't say that shit. And we can still use the word field appropriately and still use it to teach our appropriate history. Like, yes, we did used to have black slaves in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
And
I would
there
agree
you have
with
it.
That.
And so,
I was just thinking that this particular show should go on as a series, and we should go and focus on a specific thing for the next show. But I see this as a series of shows. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah,
I could definitely
could
see
some...
that. You know I will talk for hours and days about losing our rights. So don't get
this
me started.
This is definitely a First Amendment right issue. You know, it's inflammatory because it's in politics. That DeSantis guy and Newsom, they're always going against each other because you know that freaking my governor wants to be president. And so he's going after the other governor who has already declared he wants to be president, right? So
right.
At least your governor wasn't Mike fucking Huckabee.
And now Sarah Huckabee.
Yeah. Well,
no, I live in
stupid.
Tennessee now. I do not claim that. I was not allowed to vote in that election.
She's pretty stupid. I mean, she was stupid as Trump's person, right? But now on her own, without other people helping her say her words, holy cow. Talk
honey,
about someone
shit.
Who needs
I
to
lived
be
in
mad.
Arkansas for 36 years. My parents and my family are still there. I know.
My family came from there. My dad's family came from there. When you're talking Italian, my mother is a full-blooded Italian. I was raised by my Italian family. I'm half Italian. And
my
so,
mom's
you know,
Cajun,
I...
and my stepfather is the Italian, but he's the one that raised me and was there for me, and he's my daddy. He's the only father I ever had.
Well,
and
there
he's
you
my
go.
Italian.
This is bad to say, but I for the longest time, and this is my own prejudice, I am prejudiced against my blood being from Arkansas and Missouri. We were the poorest of the poor white people. I know when people hear me say that, they go, oh, you don't know. Yeah, I do know.
Oh,
I
no, we
do.
Do.
Know what
if you've never been in like the Delta
people.
Regions of Arkansas.
There you go. That is my people. And I used to be very ashamed of the fact of that was my blood. But I grew to understand their hardships and how stupid and ignorant I was of my family's struggles. I just thought being poor and white was like the worst thing there could ever be in the world. And so I'm ashamed of the way I used to be, but I'm totally enlightened now of the hardships that my family, dirt poor, I swear to you, they ate dirt.
I understand. You know,
dirt.
We actually still have a recipe in the old family cookbook for stone soup.
Yes.
And if you've never been so poor to know what stone soup is, you are a lucky motherfucker.
You know what? I didn't know that there was anything that they called it anything. And the first time I was introduced, maybe around 11 years old, to the story, there's a short story called Stone
Soup.
Yes,
it's a beautiful.
Yeah.
It's called Stone
Soup.
Yes,
it's beautiful. Yes, and it's a heartwarming story. About
that's one of the ones I grew up reading because
yeah.
It was always available at the library, and it was also, well, mostly because we did some historic reenactments, and
mm-hmm.
we did actually make stone soup for that. I will say that
yeah.
my mother was amazing, and we were never so bad off that I actually had to have stone soup for dinner. But I have made it. I have consumed it. It's not as bad as you'd think.
Right.
But just
well,
like the short story, if you don't have people to add shit to it, it's going to be kind of funk.
Well,
absolutely.
The thing is, when we start talking about, like, we're talking ethnic and our cultural background and how they
mm-hmm.
affect us. When everything is just smeared together and we're too sensitive to say, because I know how much it hurt me by me not acknowledging my Missouri and my Arkansas background. It
exactly.
hurt me in the long run. And I suppressed that for a long time. Personally, I can see what, when you suppress these hurtful words or these words that become so specific that somebody says you can't say it because of its connotation,
mm-hmm.
it really drags down your understanding of being human. And is that what we want? We all just want us to be vanilla? All of us?
No,
no,
not at all.
Well, then
not at all.
What the heck? Why are we allowing people to ban books and tell us what words we can use?
I'm not
and what
allowing
words we
this.
Yeah.
I'm fucking standing up because I'm fucking pissed, okay? I'm
yep.
not allowing this. I'm not allowing this for my children. Like I told you earlier in the show, we gifted all of my kids' friends and even their teacher in school a permanent copy so they could keep it on their shelf, an issue or the mouse. And
that's
anytime they want other books, once I get everything out of storage here on, you know, in the next few weeks, once I get my storage room cleaned out in Arkansas, I'm taking all the books that I have and looking through them. And if there's any copies, which, of course, I have an entire plethora of banned books in my collection. I have, like, all of them.
Right.
I'm giving them to the school if they don't already have them. I'm taking them to my kids'
be
school.
Careful.
And I'm
be careful of giving them
my
to
my kid
school.
Is going to a school this next year
yeah.
that is actually in the college campus. And the program
still,
that they're in, they're going to be getting an associate's degree by the time they graduate as a senior from high school.
Oh,
so
see,
it's a very progressive program.
That doesn't mean they're not going to throw those books away. My whole thing is I know what they did. I've been in that program. My Green Academy students have been in that program, what you're talking about, for a very long time. The thing is that libraries across the nation are going digital and they're throwing books away. I mean, literally in the garbage, in the incinerator. libraries everywhere. So if you donate your books to a campus, more than likely those books are going to be burned. You should
thank you for letting me know that.
Stores.
I'll keep them here.
Yeah, or seek out thrift stores or people or organizations that buy for the preservation of books.
I do actually have original copies of Clockwork Orange and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm talking
Okay, I had a whole class set of Persepolis. I bought it to go, with my school money, because if they were mine, well, I should have kept them anyway because of this story. I left them all, the class set in my classroom, and and then I retired. So I got a text message from one of the English teachers at my old school and said, well, what do you want done with this class set of Persepolis? And I go, well, it goes with the 10th grade springboard book. And you all know how much I hate springboard, but I love Persepolis. It's a great graphic novel. And I teach it along with that lesson in springboard. I mean, aren't you guys doing that anymore? Well, we're not doing that anymore, and so they want to know what to do with these books. And I go, we'll give them to the library. And they go, no, they're going to throw them out. And I'm just like, well, I don't want school property in my house. I don't want anything to do with something like that. So you guys do whatever you're going to do. Well, they're probably going to be thrown away. And I'm just like, see? Look at that.
That is so disappointing.
They were brand
new. I have
books.
A lot of friends and family members who work in the library programs. And actually, my eldest, I was supposed to have them the entire summer because I'm a full-time parent. And they decided to volunteer at the library.
Nice.
Out by their grandmother's house in Arkansas. So we decided on an every other week schedule, and I'm taking them to Arkansas every other week so that they can go do their library volunteering. And I think
awesome.
It's absolutely
awesome,
fantastic.
Rachel.
But
it is.
I'm also like, oh, I love you, kid, but why couldn't you volunteer at the library out here? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, folks,
but
I'm going to drop in here and say that we're going to wrap this up. So let's just say one final thing. Absolutely.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Vic.
Okay. The list that I got of the banned words, and there's many articles and sources that you can look at, publications and all. It's called, the website is called A Union of Professionals. And it is a group of people that have been together and trying to stop this word banning since the summer of 2003. And so that's a long time ago. That's 20 years. They have been working to try to stop this. And yet it's been harder and harder and harder to stem the tide, okay? It's a tsunami now. And so the woman that I've been quoting from, her name is Diane Ravitch. And so if you're interested in looking at this, a union of professionals, a lot of professors coming together to try to stop the banning of all of this, books, ideas, and words. And so that's what I wanted to say. Yeah.
I am in love with this.
Yeah, but they're losing.
I will be looking it up right after the show. So.
Yeah. They're losing, though. They're losing the fight. We're losing the fight on this.
I've been working on the banned books issue since I was in college. So I graduated and I started college in 2003.
Ah.
So, yeah,
well,
I've been working on it for
20 years.
Yeah.
I consider myself lucky to have been in college in the 80s, because the late 70s and early 80s, because it was an enlightened time. You could read anything. You could find anything. And the debate in classrooms was free flow and like I said, enlightening. And so,
that's how it was in a few of my college classes, and that's why I adored it so much, was because it was very free flow, very enlightening. And I still have my favorite T-shirt ever from college, which is from when we did Banned Book Week, and we hosted an annual Banned Book Barbecue, where, you know, instead of barbecuing banned books, you brought banned books to trade with everybody, and we had a barbecue.
There you go.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yep. Well,
I could use some barbecue right now.
Oh, me too, man. So I love you guys. I think you're trying to wrap it up, Carl, or I know you are. So I'm done here.
So, all right. So I just want to say before you go, Rachel, we'll talk afterwards, but we're going to set this up as a series. There's a couple things I do want to just mention. One thing is the rewriting of books to make them more palatable. They're doing that with the Bond series, the Ian Fleming books.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll do an episode for that,
well,
and I'm sure there will be more episodes coming. So
how about if we combine that that episode with rewriting of films and TV shows, because they're going back and doing that.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to
combine
do that for the next show, Vic? Do you want to do that for the next show? Okay.
Yeah,
that's
we should do that. That's
our
exactly
next show.
It.
Okay.
I'm
so,
here for it.
So we're going to do that. Now, as we always do, we do a little bit of housekeeping here, and I just want to give you what else is coming up this weekend. Okay, so I can tell you this, that tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Adam Ferenc will be hosting the Cafe Gray Mission, and they'll be doing a show on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is now ended its run. And so they'll be doing that.
It was so glorious.
And then on Sunday, we have Rock This Town Radio with TC. And the next two shows, including Monday, he's going to be talking to musicians. The first one is an evening with Jeff Fetterman. Jeff Fetterman is a blues guitarist who has played with Joe Bonamassa and a number of other people. And he's also from our hometown, Bradford, Pennsylvania. And I sold Jeff his first guitar. So it'd be nice to reconnect with Jeff. And we're going to feature him and his music. And then on Monday, this was canceled from last Monday, Rock This Town Radio is going to be featuring the head of a group, Tyler Calkins. And he has a group called Marshmallow Overcoat, which is all through YouTube, and they do local shows around the area, again, right, PA. And so we're going to have Tyler on Monday. And that's what we have coming up so far. I also will tell people that next week I will be out. I will be visiting Pittsburgh for the Monster Bash. And I actually have a recorder on my phone now, and I'll be talking to some people, including Sam Urban, who has been with us numerous times on this podcast. And
we love
I'll
our Sammy.
Yeah, he's our Sammy. And Eric is going to be there, and I'm staying with friends up in Beaver Falls, which is really interesting because I used to live there when I was 6 years old. And so it's going to be an interesting week, and we'll have some things coming from Monster Bash too, some video and some interviews and such. I'll probably get David Rock Nelson to speak to us and such. So there you go. That's what's happening so far. Vicki, you're always welcome here. I love this show. We'll talk and we'll set things up probably after when I get back from next week, which will be I'll be back the 20th, and then we'll set it up for that week. Okay.
Okay. Maybe.
So, or whatever, but we'll figure it out. But we will definitely do the next follow up to this. Rachel, as always, It's always a pleasure to work with you and have you on the show. And now I'm going to give it back to Vicki to send us out. So go ahead, Vic.
Well, thank you for listening to our podcast. Today's intent was trying to delve into the intent behind banning words, banning books. But there's a lot of other things going on with this little tentacled monster, and getting to the bottom of it is the only way to understand. And that's what intent is all about. So,
yay!
Let's go and understand what we're doing. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good night, everyone. Good afternoon, whatever it is.
Yep, good afternoon. Goodbye.